You're listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Happy New Year. God bless everyone out there on this Thursday, January the 1st, year of our Lord, 2026. Hope you're having a great day. We're going to make it all that much better as we soak in the Word of God here today. I thank you for joining us. This is WGOD Radio. That's the being a radio man that I have been for some 22 years. That is the call letters I'd love to call my radio station if I ever owned one. It's too bad only one station can own call letters, but I love it. WGOD. See, God is, he's always broadcasting. We just need to go to where he speaks. That's what we do on this radio program. We sit under, we listen to, we sit under the authority of the Word of God. We are in Romans chapter 11 today. This is part two of the sermon that just started yesterday. It's called What's Up with Israel, Part Two. And this is part two of part two. If you'd like to watch the video, you can go to the Island Community Church YouTube page. You'll see the video. It's about 44 minutes of the sermon, as well as many of our other sermons are uploaded on there. God's doing a great work at Island Community Church. We'd love to see you. You are invited to attend one of our services Sunday morning at 10:30. My associate pastor, Darren Solana, is bringing the word this weekend, Sunday morning at 10:30. And Wednesday, January the 7th, we will resume our informal Wednesday night Bible study. Pastor Darren's leading that as well in the book of Jonah. It's where we're at now. We would love to see you for one of our services. Here now is part two of this message.
Again, notice the big distinction. The devil's blinded the minds of the Gentiles, while God has afflicted the minds of the Jewish people with a stupor, better yet, a spirit. Why would he do that? Answer, in my opinion, it's none of my business. Who am I to answer that question? But I could say, in my opinion, perhaps he did that because of you. Because this is all part of his master plan. That due to Israel's rejection of the Messiah, the gospel was then taken to you. You see, indeed, the Bible says, all things work together for good. All things work together for good to those that love God. He can even take this terrible thing that's happened and turn it around for good. Due to Israel's rejection of the gospel, we hear scriptures like this, Mark 16:15. Go into all the world now and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Now, next rhetorical question. Verse 11. Romans 11:11. I won't keep you more than another hour, hour and a half. Romans chapter 11, verse 11. The Holy Spirit's anticipating disagreements with this, naturally. I say then. Now, here, the natural thought would be, well, these guys are toast, right? I mean, they got a spirit. Now, I don't mean Casper. Sent from God. So naturally, the next brain thought's got to be, well, man, oh man, these guys are some serious toast. Look what's happened to them. So I say then, have they stumbled so that they should fall? look at as another place for God forbid. Certainly not. God forbid. But through their fault. You see, I've answered the question already for the reason why. Here it is right here. Keep reading. Through their fall, to provoke them, that's the Jews, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to you, the Gentiles. Now, if their fall is riches for the world, and if their failure is riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Now, down to verse 17. Paul, again, anticipates his readers now to be filled with pride over this, thinking that they're better than the Jews because they themselves are saved, or to use the word elect, right? I can hear it now. I can look at a nursery rhyme, right? God voted for me. God voted for me. I won the election. I won the election. You know, better be careful with that train of thought or you're going to end up like a politician on the news, right? Man, oh man, would Donald Trump ever have a field day with that one, huh? God voted for me. God voted for me. You see how it's easy now? God voted for me, but you're walking around with Casper, the friendly ghost. See how your head can puff up like a watermelon if you're not careful? God voted for me, and you got Casper. And he's going to say now, better watch out now what you're thinking here. Don't swell up too big here, watermelon head. Now, like I said, while at the same time these Jews over here, well, you can even apply the same rationale today. These Jews over here, right? Now, you're elect. God's gone into his booth. He's voted for you. While these poor Jews over here, you've got rejected by God, rejected by men. They're hated by people worldwide. They're burned by the millions and incinerators because of their nationality. All the world hates the Jew. While little old you, chosen, marked out in advance, called, justified, saved, glorified. Now, Paul anticipates that attitude, and pride starting to creep in because of all this. I'm elected and you're not. Now, let's pick it up here. Verse 17. Now, in verse 17, Paul's going to compare the people of God to an olive tree. Again, this is where you were at this morning in Sunday school. Paul's going to compare the people of God to a tree, an olive tree, with Israel being the main tree and the Gentiles grafted in to the original tree, like my mother's tree. My mother had what was called back in the day a tangelo tree, which produced a new type of orange. It was a hybrid orange from grafting together a branch from a tangerine tree into an orange tree. And the end result was a new type of fruit. Voila, you've got what comes out every November, a tangelo. I don't even think they exist anymore. Rots and cankers gotten all of them. So, that's what he's talking about, verse 17. Here we go. Now, if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them you became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember, you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, well, branches were broken off, so that I could be grafted in. Then he says, well, correctamundo. Because of, okay, what's the next word there? Unbelief, do you see that? We're in Romans 11, verse 20. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. And you stand by faith. And he says, better watch out here, Smedley. Do not be haughty, but fear. Look at this terrible verse that he says next. For if God did not spare the natural branches, then he might not spare you either. Wow, what a frightful thing to say. Unbelief being the main thing here. If God can do what he did to the Jews, what's stopping him from doing the same thing to you is what he's trying to say. And he's not trying to say it. He did say it. So don't boast about the poor Jewish man or woman who doesn't believe. But praise God that it didn't happen to you and continue in the vine. Continue to abide in Christ. Okay, now he's going to sum all this up with a therefore. Verse 22. But everything we've just looked at hits us with a therefore. Therefore, consider the kindness and the sternness, reading from the NIV. Consider the kindness and the sternness of God, colon. On those who fell, sternness. But towards you, the kindness. What's the next word? If. This is a conditional promise if I've ever seen one. So here it is on display on this 28th of December, year of our Lord, 2025. Consider, therefore, the kindness and the sternness of God. On those that fell, sternness. But towards you, kindness, if you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. Now, my only instruction in response to that statement is this. You must cross the finish line in faith. That's all I can say to you. I mean, that's a tough word. All that we can do is ensure and make sure, and that's the good news, is that he's always with us. And he'll never let go. He always keeps us in his grip. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You must continue and you must cross this finish line in faith. There's no other option. Don't think that what happened to the Jews can't happen to you. And the root cause, pardon the pun, the root cause for this is unbelief. Unbelief will remove you from the vine or tree. I'm not getting into semantics, whether you were saved or not. I know people can come into this church and be blessed. If you're not a believer, you can come into this church and be blessed. I promise you that. Good things happen here. Good things will happen even if you're an unbeliever and you come here. But by walking in unbelief will remove you from the vine. Verse 23, and they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, they will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. And let me say, God is able to graft you in again too. If you find yourself today on the outside looking in due to unbelief, because unbelief is the one thing that's going to remove you from this tree. Unbelief. Look, not sin. Unbelief. Because if it was due to sin, no one would be part of the tree in the first place. Because we all sin and come short of the glory of God. Sin does not keep you out of this tree. Unbelief keeps you out of it. Unbelief. For the sake of children in here, I'm going to forsake using my gavel today. Man, oh man. You got my big gavel back there. I can't use that. I can't use the little one. You know what? Where is it? I got a little baby gavel around here somewhere. Maybe I'll use that today. Doink. Now let's look at one last portion of Scripture today. Let's look at another mystery, shall we? Verse 25. I must have thrown that gavel around here somewhere and it's gone for the ages. Right? Why do you guys keep coming back here? I can't help it. I love the Word. I try to infect as many of you as I can. That there's a God up in heaven, and He's got your name engraved in the palms of His hands. And if God is for you, then who can be against you? That's my simple message. I'm crazy. I'm crazy for Him. I make no apologies for it. Okay, verse 25. Naturally, this mystery, is it finally, there's another New Testament mystery. Naturally, the mysteries referring to Israel and their unbelief and God's plan with the nation of Israel. Verse 25, he says, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, or lest you should become conceited." All right, here it comes. Are you ready? We're going to close out this year with this New Testament mystery. Here comes the answer to the age-old question. Here comes the plan of God. Here comes, finally, the unveiling of the prothesis of God regarding Israel. Blindness, in part, has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. This word "until" is the most important "until" in all of the Bible. And it's the greatest, it's perhaps the most tragic word of all time. Is the word "until." It's great for Israel, but it's tragic for you. It's tragic for you, for all of you who have not called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or never did, or never will. Blindness, that's the word "perosis," like our word osteoporosis. That's when a callus grows over your bones and your bones become soft and brittle. So blindness, that is calluses on your spiritual eyes. Remember, spirit of stupor we just looked at. Blindness, remember, Israel's blind. Blindness, in part, that is not to everyone. Look at me and Elijah, he says. We're believers, not everyone. Blindness, in part, has happened to Israel. Look at the next word, "until." Meaning, all this is temporary. Hence the word "until." It's going to end. Your Jewish friend down the street, this time is coming when this is going to end. And he's going to, praise God, he's going to see the light. And he's going to recognize the man in the glory as the Son of God. Catch the weight of this word, though, "until." Now, here's verse 25 from the NIV. "I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited." That blindness, in part, has happened to Israel until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. I would say, into the house, into the kingdom. You see, the mystery is the mystery is the limited capacity sign that's hanging on the outside of the pearly gates. Max, like this church has got one, says maximum capacity. Lord only knows how it says 260. They must mean in the whole building. Blindness, in part, has happened to Israel until this full number of the Gentiles has come in. This house is only going to hold a limited number. a number that's known only to God. And once that number is hit, well, here's how Jesus put it. They asked him the question one day, Lord, are there just a few people that are going to be saved? Now catch his answer. He says, strive. He doesn't say yes. He doesn't say no. He said, strive. The Greek word agonizo, where our word, naturally, agony comes from. Listen, he agonized in prayer night before he died. Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Once the master of the house has risen up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at that door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you, where you are from. Then you will begin to say, well, we've just done it today. We ate and drank with you. We ate and drank, better yet, verbatim, we ate and drank in your presence. And you taught in our streets, but he will say, I tell you, I don't know you. And he says, I don't know where you're from. He doesn't even know where you live. Jesus doesn't even know where you live. What kind of Christian home is that? Where he says, open up. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He who opens up this door, he says, I will come in and I'll eat steak with you. I'll even eat broccoli with you. Now, he said that, not me. I would never say that. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out. Now, this door is going to close, according to the word of God, on the day that this full number of the Gentiles is reached. I mean, full is full, right? You guys have heard me for 10 years preaching on this subject. How do you add anything to full? Don't go to her gas station there and try to add anything to full. What's going to happen, sister? You're going to be getting out the speedy dry. It's full is full is full is full. You can't put 61 seconds in a minute. You can't put 169 hours in a week because full is full. Blindness, in part, has happened to Israel until, you see, man, oh man, there's a number that's known only to God. And once, now heaven forbid, a Titus down the street's preaching the same thing as I am. Heaven forbid Matt Stahlbaum down the street is preaching the same thing that I am. Heaven forbid churches all over the country are preaching the same thing as I am. These seats are going away fast. And he's warning you. Well, he's telling you, God's plan for Israel is going to resume when the last Christian takes that last seat over here. It's the spirit of stupor for the nation of Israel until that number was hit, is hit. Perhaps today, maybe tomorrow. See, I personally, I've got no idea. I've got no idea when this is going to happen. But I'll tell you what, this is the reason the Bible pleads with you not to put off this decision in your life, to put your faith and trust in the Son of God and to receive Him today while you still can. Because tomorrow's coming, church, that's the problem. You've got two problems as I see it. The first is the word until in your Bible. If you have not made a decision for Christ, man, oh man, that's a big problem. Until, what happens if that happens today? You know, I'll tell you what, we'd be having church in here 6 days a week If we knew this was coming in this year, 2026, wouldn't we? Imagine this happening next year. Blindness has happened to Israel until the last Gentile takes a seat. And then I just read the verses to you. Luke 13, 24 through 28. That's why Jesus said to agonize, to get in and take your seat while you can. While you can. We also read in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Me and him have been preaching this nigh on 4 years in here now. It says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, and that's spelled T-O-D-A-Y, in case you're wondering how to spell today. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts in the day of trial in the wilderness. Then he says, beware lest there be in any one of you an evil heart and an evil heart of unbelief. Like I said, the one word, the one thing that's going to take you out and keep you out of the vine is unbelief. Unbelief will take you out, not sin. Sin will only kill you. Unbelief will take you out. Unbelief, sin can only kill you. Unbelief will take you out. Lastly, we read this. I think it's 2 Corinthians 6, 1. We then, as workers together with him, we plead with you. And that's spelled P-L-E-A-D, in case you were wondering how to spell plead. We plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Then he says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I echo that, church. Now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. God will resume his plan with Israel when his plan for you ends. His plan for your son ends. His plan for your daughter ends. His plan for your mother ends. That's why this word until, man, oh man, what a punch that word packs here. All this that's happened to Israel has happened to them. It's come from God until the last Christian is going to take that last seat. And that's mystery number two. God, the mystery number two is God is not done saving the nation of Israel. He still has a plan for them, and that plan will resume when your door is closed forever. Let's pray.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
In God the 401ks, precious metals, stocks and bonds. We're pretty good at investing in our future. But what about investing in God's work? Billy Graham.
Not once does the scripture condemn people for being rich. But Jesus did say that it is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. The reason he said this is because he knew the temptations of the rich. They will depend on it for security instead of upon God.
So how can we avoid that trap?
As Christians, everything we have belongs to God. We're not to use it all on ourselves.